The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright, the power to create a happier, healthier life drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected, a place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. I'm so glad you could be with us today because we're talking about things you never knew about the human brain. All those little things you can do to start getting your brain working for you, not against you. Today we have Dr. Clint Pearman, PhD, who my good friend Constance Arnold recommended that I bring him on with us. And to my surprise, Constance, who lives in Atlanta, had no idea that this brilliant doctor lives right down the street from me in the same city. I couldn't believe it. All I can say is, well, I guess I'm supposed to bring Clint on. Law of Attraction Radio Network has been diving into the scientific realm for the last 8 years because I believe we are to use science to back up spirituality. What we once knew just by blind faith is now given to us in a scientific format, which we can better understand and apply to our daily lives. So before we bring Dr. Clint on, I wanted to read a passage in this book by Vipa Mehta from his book, Global Healing. Mr. Mehta is a metaphysician, and he applies the past, the present, and science to what we can see to be the future. What he wrote a few years ago really needs to be heard today, especially in light of what is occurring in the world right now. So I'm going to read this passage again from the book called Global Healing. In the early 20th century, the study of time and motion was an important factor in the development of mass production, leading to the Industrial Revolution. Since then, time has dominated humanity. Time is supposed to be our servant, but we have allowed our servant to become our master. We cannot take time out to learn the lesson of wisdom. The leaders of the global family have been ignoring the lesson of wisdom that time has taught us. They continue to believe that using domination is the only answer to winning the war on terrorism. A wise man's awareness is the process of including the past, present, and future. And he starts with a wonderful story about Alexander the Great. Quote, during his early age of conquest, Alexander the Great promised his mother that he would rule an empire and would deliver it to her when he returned. During the Golden Age of Greece, 334 BC to 323 BC, Alexander conquered an empire stretching from Greece to northern India. During that time, he met a great Greek mystic named Diogenes. Alexander wondered why Diogenes was so happy and joyful, and he, the emperor, was not. So he asked him, "Why are you so happy and joyful when I am your emperor?" Diogenes replied, "You're not my emperor. I am the emperor of myself. I decide if I'm happy and joyful, not you. That's why I am and you are not." Alexander was intrigued by Diogenes and began seeking mystics throughout the rest of his journey. As he was returning home, Alexander became very sick. He called upon many physicians to heal him. When they couldn't, he asked them to keep him alive until he reached his mother's town. His last wish was to be able to dedicate his empire to her as he promised. The physicians responded that mortal men cannot promise what they cannot deliver. He then realized that he was born empty-handed and was now leaving life with empty hands. All that he conquered was meaningless. He asked his kinsmen to bury him in a casket with his empty hands raised as a symbol that he understood the lessons of Diogenes. The lesson of Alexander's history is that happiness and joy are not achieved by ruling, governing, and dominating over others by occupying a superior position or space. Happiness and joy are not obtained by using barbaric ways of violence. They are only felt in dominion. Dominion is your supreme authority. It is the ownership and power over yourself. That is what will make you happy and joyful. In the sacred journey homeward, while climbing on the evolutionary mountains of needs, Alexander took a wrong turn and fell into false esteem. By having this false esteem, he derived motivation from outside validation. He wanted to prove how powerful he, the great emperor, was by conquering and expanding domination over his territories. He was so powerful that he could rule, control, and govern the people within those territories by using oppression and repression, creating fear. He constructed the invisible bars of oppression, imprisoning the people within his empire. At the same time, he imprisoned himself in anxiety, fear, and competitiveness, which left him exhausted. Alexander the Great had reverted back to the basic urges, and in doing so, hindered his own sacred journey and journeys of the people he ruled. Alexander's journey is one of typical political leaders who are on the path of domination, who use power to rule over, control, and manipulate others. Most of the history of mankind is really about the human ego, not about the human soul. Throughout history, humanity has been living and progressing through a wide spectrum of duality from domination to dominion. When the pendulum swings toward extreme domination, freedom, liberty, and justice within the global family awaken the ability and willingness to act against domination. This awakening generates the alliance of oppressed people who use free will to fight against domination. The French Revolution and Bolshevik Revolution are examples of this lesson of wisdom. When the gaps between the haves and have-nots, hopeful and hopeless, and those being helped and the helpless expand beyond tolerance, apathy turns into violence and revolution, and the political system evolves from imperialism to communism and from dictatorships to democracy. Our collective past is supposed to be our guide on the sacred journey towards our home, sweet home. But we have allowed it to be our master by reliving the past. The Middle East conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians, based on issues of their religion and ancestral past in Jerusalem, has been ongoing for more than 60 years. And now we're at the point where we're looking at Syria, Iraq, the Ukraine, parts of Africa, and now the border of the United States. The same energy and resources used in conflict can be used for the creation and manifestation of a new spiritual Salem for all of us on the sacred journey. We can change our course to dominion, consciously creating and co-creating reality with the spirit of freedom, liberty, and justice for all. This change will give us a future, allowing us to dream, hope, grow, and evolve on our sacred journey homeward. Wow. He is right on target. Now, this show is heard around the world, and it is my mission that globally we awaken to the fact that we do not need to relive the past through violent revolutions. Today, knowing the expansion of science of the brain and energy, we can together create our world without domination and shift to dominion. As Diogenes told Alexander the Great, I am the emperor of myself. I decide if I am to be happy and joyful, not you. That's why I am happy. And you, Alexander the Great, are miserable. Whatever is happening in the world today can be changed by us collectively, by co-creating together. So please keep listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network as we bring you the science that is merging with spirituality to give you the insight and ability to take back your power peaceably, so that we can shift into dominion. Now, let's take a fast break, and when we return, we're going to be talking with neuroscientist Dr. Clint Pearman. We'll be right back after these words. Stay with us.
Join us for Law of Attraction Radio Network's incredible Field of Abundance event, The Science Behind the Law of Attraction, featuring a three-hour workshop with success expert Jack Canfield, along with Howard Martin of HeartMath, cardiologist Dr. Cynthia Thite, best-selling author Dr. David Che, psychotherapist Dr. Amelia Kemp, Doctor of Philosophy Jim Alvino, international humanitarian Parisha Taylor, and Jules Johnson, as we validate the law of attraction through science with proven tips, techniques, and applications for every area of your life. October 17th, 18th, and 19th at the Queen Mary Ship Hotel in beautiful Long Beach, California. Go to loaevent.com and purchase your ticket today before it sells out. That's loaevent.com.
The law of attraction is but the tip of the iceberg, says Dr. Jim Alvino. Deep within the quantum heart, he says, LOA is rooted in the quantum law of observation, without which there would be no manifest universe. Master this, and you will have cracked the code for creating your life, your future, and your destiny, however you envision them. Join international speaker, trainer, author, and advanced LOA business coach Dr. Jim Alvino for a spellbound and revolutionary look at how we manifest the results and prosperity we desire at the Field of Abundance event with Jack Canfield on October 17th through the 19th. Go to loaevent.com and get your ticket today. LOAEvent.com.
Okay, we are back. Just real fast. Hey, I know you're hearing all about our upcoming Jack Canfield event in Long Beach. I want to urge you not to wait to get your hotel rooms at the beautiful Queen Mary Ship Hotel. Once our hotel block is gone, it's gone, and you won't be able to get these great rates. It's just like taking a fabulous cruise without the rough seas. And believe me, I've been in rough seas, and this is going to be a thrill. I am kicking off this event on Friday evening, speaking about the energy field that surrounds us, known as a toroidal field, so that we can fully understand the law of attraction energy that surrounds us, not the entire universe. I'm trying to make it more understandable. I think you're going to get a clearer picture of why your thoughts and actions are being thrown back at you from others in your immediate environment. Now, you just heard the commercial, so you know everyone that's going to be there. And they are all explaining the law of attraction through scientific techniques. We all need this right now. Don't forget to go to LOA Radio Network and sign up immediately. Tickets are selling like crazy, and you don't want to lose this incredible hotel space. See you in Long Beach, because together we have a huge mission that we can accomplish. Now let's bring on Dr. Clint Perriman, who has had a long career in the U.S. Marines, where he developed mental toughness paradigm, which is how ordinary people achieve extraordinary things. And after leaving the Marines, Dr. Clint founded the North American Center for Optimal Performance, enabling neuroscience to research brain science discoveries that can continue to optimize human performance with practical daily applications to achieve more success. Dr. Clint also founded and developed the new science of success called Copenology, an interdisciplinary field that studies all scientific research related to how we succeed or fail to live up to our potential. His latest book, The Gift, 12 Ingredients to Improve Your Life, which can be purchased through Amazon or his website, ClintPerriman.com. Go and visit that as you hear us talk today, if you are not driving, that is. Well, welcome, Clint, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
I am excited to be on with you, Jules. Thanks for having me on.
I am thrilled. You know, Constance Arnold recommended you highly, and whatever Constance says, my audience knows, I usually stand up and pay attention. So I'm glad that she recommended you so highly.
Well, I have to thank her for whatever it was she said, and I'll give her that little bonus check later.
Okay. So let's talk about you being a brain scientist, and you really have the complete understanding of how the mind works so far, and especially about what people need to do to strive for success. So let's start there, because I know we have so many entrepreneurs listening. We have so many people who are striving to accomplish a real big goal in their life.
Of course, of course. And thank you for that really nice and honorable introduction, but I have to confess something. Nobody as of right now has a complete understanding of how the brain works. Now, there's a lot of us that know a lot about how the brain works, but we still only are scratching the surface of what we know about how the brain works, even though this little bit we know is a whole lot more than what we knew just as recent as 10, 15 years ago. I can't say that I have a complete understanding, but I do have enough understanding to talk about it.
Okay. Well, that's what we need. Because we're striving here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio to get the scientific principles and techniques into the hands of people. And it's not that we are in any way dismissing the metaphysical, but we just think that there's wonderful tools that science is discovering that we can do to make the manifestation of our goals into reality.
That's an awesome point. And I'll even go so far as to say that we have science now that can support some of the metaphysical claims we used to make, or some of the things that we used to not think was scientific years ago. We now have a pretty solid understanding of a lot of those things today. So, and that's my area of research. What is it we know about success from a brain science standpoint that can be backed up by science? So we know a little bit about that.
And what that entails is really about the law of attraction, right?
Oh, thank you. You're absolutely right. I love how you put that. It totally the law of attraction. And even though when The Secret first came out, it was focused or directed towards the general public. All the stuff in it was right on the money. But there was those of us like, you know, those scientists like myself that said, well, you left out a lot of stuff. You left out the science behind this and that, even though what they said, it was right. But, you know, there are those analytical people like myself that says, I need to know the science before I can subscribe to it.
So since you brought up The Secret, what are some of the things, can you recall any that they were not really going into great detail about in The Secret?
Oh, of course. You know, when you look at the premise of The Secret, it's pretty simple. The premise is not only pretty simple, it is extremely powerful. And the premise is you become what your most dominant thoughts are. So the idea behind The Secret was whatever it is you are thinking about, you will think that into reality.
Okay.
Now,
good. Now
the challenge was for those of us that have this science mindset, it's like, it's got to be a whole lot more. So I'm going to sit here and think I want a Mercedes and it's going to show up tomorrow. Well, yeah, but there's a whole lot of other stuff that was left out of that. The things like you just can't think about it. You got to put some action behind your thinking. And then your thinking also cannot be interrupted by doubts, all types of things like that that I'm sure we probably will get into as we move through the show.
Good, good, good. Yeah, that sounds fascinating to me. Now, we understand that what we have to do is basically rewire the neurons, which I'm not saying that correctly. I know you'll correct me on that. But it's really that which we have to stop the doubts, the disbeliefs in order to accomplish our goals. Is that correct?
And you said it right. You were right on the money. At the end of the day, all success programs, all the books you're reading, all the workshops you attend, every lecture you listen to, every radio show you listen to, at the end of the day, there is one thing that must occur, and it's simple as this. You must become the person that can accomplish your goals. Now, when I say you must become the person, we're referring to neurologically, meaning if you were able to create the brain of the person that can accomplish the goals you want, you could accomplish them. And that's, in other words, in order to create that brain, that's all about wiring your neuronal circuits up so that your brain is more conducive to helping you achieve your goals. Most of us set goals and go out and try to achieve them, but we never get our brain working for us. And in some cases, our brain is actually working against us. So you're trying to achieve these goals and your brain is actually holding you back because of one simple thing. You didn't change the neuronal circuits to represent the person at the brain level that can achieve your goals. If you change your brain first, your body will follow.
So are you saying we have to become that which we desire?
You know that's what I'm saying. Yes, yeah. Not only is that what I'm saying, man, that goes back years. You know, you can trace that concept back to the Buddha. And it's essentially saying this. Think about this. If you have a goal to, let's say, become a neuroscientist. Yeah, well, let's use that. You have a goal to become a neuroscientist. If you were able to get a neuroscientist brain transplanted in your head, you'd become a neuroscientist.
Right.
Well, unfortunately, we can't do brain transplants like that. But what we can do is we can reprogram your brain. We can reprogram the brain you have so that it becomes the brain of a neuroscientist. And once you get that, becoming a neuroscientist will be a matter of putting in the effort now.
So are you saying that we have to think like a neuroscientist now in order to be that, in order to rewire our brain?
Let me expand on that.
Okay, good.
Instead of using, let's change from neuroscientist to just, let's change it to this. In order to become anything we want to become, whatever your goals are, talking to your audience, look at your goals, whatever those goals are. Think about a person that has already accomplished those goals and then understand you got to get the brain they have. Well, since we can't go steal their brain, what we can do, though, is rewire our own brain so that it represents or so that it has the neuronal circuits and the attitude, the belief, the knowledge, the skills, so that it has all the attributes that the person that the person that can achieve the goals has. And once you have that brain achieving whatever goals you have, and it doesn't matter what the goal is, if someone else has done it and it required mental power or cognitive power, you can change your brain to become that.
So, you know, Jack Canfield said, if you want to become successful, you got to hang out with the successful people. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Yeah, that's one of them. I remember we talked a little while back about some of the techniques, and I'm sure we'll probably get to that, but we talked about some of the techniques that can be used to help rewire the brain. The research, you know, points to about 11 different techniques.
Really?
I generally talk about the five most important ones, but you just brought up another really, really important one, which is association. So if you hang out with winners, you hang out with leaders, you hang out with successful people, the stuff they know will rub off on you. In fact, there's a new, you might have even heard this, some of your audience, mirror neurons. Mirror neurons are literally neurons in your brain that see. They see what other people are doing, and then it helps you start developing the neural circuits to mimic what they're doing.
Wow.
And we call them,
that's the law of attraction right there, because they're attracting. Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. Powerful. So if it's true, then as some studies suggest, that we have all of these negative thoughts in our brain, how do we go about rewiring those? Besides, what are some of the other techniques that we can use to get rid of these negative thoughts and get onto our goal of accomplishing what we want?
Perfect. I'll run through what I believe are the top four or five.
Okay.
The first one, and the interesting thing about this, Jewel, is this isn't even new stuff. What's new about it is we can tie it into brain science now. So let's begin with the one I always say is the starting point. Simple goal setting. Goal setting actually initiates the neuronal circuits. Now, just in case there may be some people in the audience that aren't familiar with what I mean by neuronal circuits, our body is made up of cells. We have about 50 trillion of them. We estimate there's about, we used to say about 100 billion, but there's some new research coming out now saying, it's only about 80 billion. It doesn't matter. The number of neurons you have is not as important as how those neurons are wired up. Now, when I say wired up, here's what I mean. All of our thoughts, all of our behavior, all of our attitudes, all of our goals, everything about us can be traced back to the way individual neurons are connected in your brain. So I did the example yesterday of how we can create a neuronal circuit almost instantly where, in fact, let's see if you remember it. What was that creature we talked about yesterday? Do you remember what it was, Jill?
Yes, oh yes. We talked about an orange elephant.
How many legs?
With six legs.
Wearing what?
A thong.
Yes. So now, here's what we know. Me and Jewel talked about this yesterday, and she remembered it. The only way you can remember it is that probably a couple hundred thousand neurons in your brain connected that represent that item. So, in fact, we could literally put you in certain brain imaging equipment, and we could almost see what neuronal circuits light up when you think of that orange elephant with six legs wearing a thong. So what that essentially tells us is, you know, all your thoughts, your attitudes, your beliefs, they all have electrical, biological, and chemical properties that we can observe and measure in your brain. So now we're going to circle back around to answer your question. How do you change those negative beliefs? You got to start with knowing this. Those negative beliefs, even the negative attitudes, they are represented in your brain by neuronal circuits that are wired up. In other words, a couple hundred thousand, maybe a million neurons that are wired up that represent that. In order to change, while I'm going to say we really can't, we can't cancel those circuits. They have to kind of die out on their own through something called apoptosis or lack of use. But what we can do is create neuronal circuits that overpower the negative circuits. And that's actually what we try to do in cognitive behavioral therapy, EFT therapy, all the psychology therapies that try to change behavior. What they're trying to do is create new circuits in the brain that represent the new behavior. And then once those circuits are strong enough where they start affecting your old habits, they then can overpower or be what we would call the dominant circuit. So you have a circuit that has negativity in it, and then you start reprogramming your brain with positive circuits. Eventually, because you stop using the negative circuits and you start developing the positive circuits, at some point those positive circuits will be stronger and more powerful than the negative circuits, and then your new behavior will take over. Your new habits, the new you,
and
takes over.
That doesn't have to take so long. But I noticed yesterday when we were talking, you said that what's new is that these brain imagery studies or pictures can
right.
now show which neurons are lighting up, which ones are really working. So if you are laughing because of that elephant with that thong on, you be able to see that. Is that correct? Did I get that right?
Now, let me add to what you're asking, and you tell me if I answered your question. You're right. Yes, there are certain types of brain scanning equipment, and there's some really new equipment coming online right now that we use in the traumatic brain injury industry, which is one of my interests, working with people that have suffered traumatic brain injury. So you're right. We have equipment that can literally see what set of neuronal structures light up when you think about different things. So in the case of the orange elephant, with the part about laughing, when you're trying to develop these new circuits, and let's change the word circuits to this, when you're trying to develop new habits, because we know to develop the new habit, you have to develop new neuronal circuits. That is the foundation of everything we try to do that changes our behavior. So we're trying to change these new behaviors. We're developing these new neuronal circuits. Humor releases a certain type of hormone and neurotransmitter that strengthens the neuronal circuits.
Wow.
So if you're trying to learn something and let me add this, this is even more powerful. When you're trying to learn a new habit, a new behavior, if you can add intense emotion to it, that is like cement for
wow.
those neuronal circuits. So let's say you're trying to visualize and imagine you losing weight.
Uh-huh.
If you can then become emotional where you get the chill bumps when you think of it, even if you start tearing up, when you start kind of crying, what I meant was when I said tearing up, starting to cry when you think about losing weight, what it's going to feel to you, how your body's going to feel, how you're going to have more energy. If you can make that emotional, those neurons that represent that new you become stronger based on your emotions, because the emotions release certain neuronal transmitters that literally act like cement.
Wow.
So You had asked what were some of the other techniques.
Well, actually, can I ask one question?
Oh, of course.
The what you are having emotions with, whether it be a laughter or happiness or sadness or misery, what are the most powerful ones that are really going to cement it?
Joy and happiness.
Thank you.
Only because joy and happiness is way better than anger and the emotions of stress, even though they both can create. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
If you ever, let me use me as an example. I've only been in one accident in my entire life. I was driving back somewhere in Seattle, Washington. I had just entered the on-ramp, and it had a really sharp curve to it. And I was going too fast. I hit the side of the on-ramp, hit the soft gravel and pavement, and lost control of my car, and the car spun out and hit a pole.
Ooh.
Airbag open. I wasn't going fast enough to really be hurt, but fast enough where my airbag, you know, it discharged. And that was an emotional moment, or, you know, bordering on terror, because I knew I was going too fast. I tried to hit the brakes. I hit the dirt, and the car spun, and it was like, ah! That emotion developed a set of neuronal circuits in my brain right now that every time I go onto an on-ramp now, I almost relive that emotion. So it's almost like a traumatic experience. No, it's almost like post-traumatic. Actually, it is. It's post-traumatic stress. So I have these flashbacks. Every time I go on an off-ramp, and if you were ever riding with me, you would probably ask, why are you going so slow? Because I have these neuronal circuits that remind me every time of that accident that I have. Now, the accident probably only took about 3, 4, 5 seconds, but it created a set of neuronal circuits that are so strong now that unless I intentionally tried to do something to forget them, I'll probably never forget it. So,
but actually, right. You're thinking to yourself, well, I'd rather be safe than rewire my neurons on
you
this.
Know, that's an excellent point, and that just made me realize I'm not changing that circuit. I'm leaving it like it is.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Absolutely. So that question about how long does it take, you can initiate the wiring of new circuits almost instantly, but the real question is, how long does it take before the new circuits change your behavior,
mm-hmm.
or change your beliefs? Well, that's based on how strong the behavior you already have is and how strong the beliefs are. So your goal is to literally overpower that old circuit with the new circuit. And the first step, back to the original question of what were some of the techniques. Number one, goal setting, mm-hmm. the act of writing the goal down. And you know, the success scientists from back in the day, Zig Ziglar and Jack Canfield, all these guys, they told us, write your goals down. We now have the science that clarifies why you need to write it down. So after you write it down, you initiate a set of neuronal circuits. What are some other techniques? Visualization. Visualization is probably the single most powerful technique for developing new neuronal circuits because, as we've heard in the past, what you visualize has the same neuronal circuits as the actual event or the actual item. So visualization, affirmations, and then another technique that I really love, it involves when you set goals, having a plan of what you are going to do if something interferes with your goal. Many of us never think about that, especially coaches, you know, life coaches, success coaches. We don't think to teach our client what happens if you have something that interrupts the goal you set. What if you have something that interrupts a action step that you were supposed to take? What are you going to do? Because we don't teach it, people simply allow daily life events to interfere with the development of the new circuit. So what I teach people is write down exactly what you're going to do. So let's say you're setting a goal to get up every morning at 7 o'clock and go exercise. Then I say, great. Now, I want you to tell me what you are going to do if, for example, you get a phone call at 6:50 that tries to interfere with the goal of going to exercise at 7. What are you going to do? And I get them to tell me what they're going to do. Hopefully, they say something like, I'm not going to answer the phone. Wow. Think about how powerful that is.
Yeah.
So now they've developed a set of neuronal circuits that represent that new behavior. I'm going to exercise at 7 o'clock. If my phone rings at 6:59, I don't answer it.
Interesting.
Because we've set that goal out in advance. So those are just a couple of things that you can do to begin reprogramming the circuits.
Yeah, I like that. Or do you have, is it possible to have a plan B if you have to get interrupted?
Of course. And this is the best part about that. You want to make sure the interruption is more important than the goal. In other words, we sometimes allow things that are not important interrupt the important things.
Right. Right.
So while a plan B is important, but it should only be used if it's necessary because something has come up more important than the goal.
Wow. That's very, very important. You're right. I haven't heard that from anybody else, so that's really powerful. Now, we know that we're only working on 5 to 10% of our potential brain power. But how do we get our mind to work at maybe 20 to 35% of its potential? How do we train our mind to go beyond what we are doing now?
That is awesome. That's an awesome question. And I actually have written papers on that topic, so
really?
I love this topic. In simple terms, which is what I think I'm becoming, you know, what I try to brand myself as, I can take these scientific principles and put them in simple layman's terms.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we increase our brain power so that we can live, and here's the way I like to put it, so that we can live closer to our optimum potential?
Mm.
Would you agree that's the question?
Yes, that's the question.
How do we get closer to our optimum potential? Well, here's the first thing. You got to understand why some of us don't live up to our potential. Step number one, watch how simple this is. Step number one is, we don't have any goals.
Mm.
I mean, let's think about this. At the foundation to living up to your potential is to have a goal to live up to your potential. If you don't have a goal, well, you probably are living up to a mediocre potential. But step one is to have let me back up. That's not even step one. Step one is to actually have what I like to call a vision of a better future or a better you. So number one, what is the vision that you see of a better you? Number two is, once you see that vision, set a goal to obtain it. Once you've set the goal, develop a plan, which then breaks the goal down into individual steps. And those steps should actually identify your daily behavior. Those steps should tell you what you should be doing Monday through Sunday. Even if you don't work on Sunday, that should be included in that plan. So you have the goal. Let's say I want to lose 50 pounds in the next 6 months. Fantastic goal. Now we need an action plan. So we need a plan. What are you going to do on Monday? I'm going to do this. What are you going to do on Tuesday? Well, I really can't do anything on Tuesday because I'm working all day. great. That shows up on your daily plan. What are you doing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? In other words, you state what you're doing every day. And now this is where you add that backup plan. And then I ask, now what happens if on Wednesday something interferes with your plan to go exercise? What are you going to do? So we add that in there. So now the person has a set of goals. They have a vision of what they want to accomplish. They have a set of goals. Then they have a plan of action. And then here's where the brain stuff comes in. After that, you want to develop what I like to call the next couple of steps. You want to copenize them. And when I use the term copen, C-O-P-E-N, we're referring to cognitive optimum performance enabling neuroscience. So I simply call that copenology, which is cognitive optimum performance enabling neuroscience. In layman's terms, that's the neuroscience designed to help your brain operate at an optimum level. And that begins with visualization, affirmation, and we've already talked about these, visualization, affirmation, incantations, and you brought up a really awesome one that I'm going to start adding because it is so powerful, association.
So this is really good stuff. I had a perfect question and I got so involved in the answer I forgot it. Oh, it was good. Okay, so I need some help on my rewiring because I just got so lost in what you were saying. It will come to me.
Here's another awesome lesson coming out of neuroscience. Whenever we have those moments where what we were thinking about kind of just leaves us for a moment, first thing we want to do is tell our mind, go back and get that thing I was thinking of. Because if we say anything that tells our mind that, yeah, maybe I'm not really that interested in looking for it, our brain literally stops searching. So you just drew a blank. You can't remember what it was you were going to say. So then I say, you know what? I'm going to figure that out here in a second because, brain, you need to go get that thing.
I got it. Yeah. What I want to know, thank you very much for letting me go get it.
There you go.
I wanted to find out when you are exercising and you're doing your action step, what should you be doing, like exercising? Should you be feeling, wow, this is fabulous. I'm feeling so good. I'm feeling so energized, even though you're getting tired. Are you supposed to be visualizing during the act of exercising? What are you supposed to be? Is that correct or not?
Let me add to what you're saying.
Okay.
Depending on what you're exercising for, now let me give you an example.
Okay.
I am right now preparing for the Senior Olympics in 2015.
Wow.
I competed in the California Olympics about 6 weeks ago, and I qualified for the National United States Senior Olympics in a couple of events. So let's take the 100-yard dash. Now, when I'm exercising to prepare for that, especially if I'm running simulation sprints, mm-hmm. I'm visualizing the movement that I'm going through in that exercise.
Oh, you're visualizing it because you are practicing for the future. Okay.
And I also want all the help I can get to set up what we call muscle memory. So rather than just going through the motion, I'm focused, and here's the best term, I am in the moment. I am not thinking about anything else. I want my mind to be in the moment because just the act of doing that, it helps in developing the muscle memory so my mind or my subconscious, so my body's muscle memory already knows the motion. Now, let's say you're exercising or you're working out to become a better golfer. Well, that's, you want to be in the motion, focusing on that. But now let's just say you're exercising and you really don't have a goal like that. You really just want to lose weight and you're running on the treadmill. That's not really a focused moment. You could be watching TV or listening to your iPad. That's not going to hurt you much but now if you were a intense athlete and you were running because you want to compete in something, it's a whole different story now.
So in order to really stay focused on the exercising, you have to be in the moment. So you really shouldn't be distracting yourself with watching TV, because I notice when I go to the gym and I watch TV, it's like, oh, boy, I can hardly wait to get off of this thing. You know, so it's like, it's like I'm not focused in on experiencing what my body is going through.
In the moment, absolutely.
In the moment. So that may be the key.
That comes out of the meditation.
Yeah, that actually would help me to keep exercising, not just for a few weeks or a month or two. It will keep me going back, right?
Oh, great point. Let me add this then. Excellent point when it comes to exercise. And let me give it to you like this. I think I mentioned to you that I'm back in school working on another doctorate in health psychology. And when I began the program, I had to take a statistics class, and I really hated statistics. I had a fear that I don't know if I was going to be able to finish this statistics. And then I realized I need to this is exactly what the thought process was. I said, I need to reprogram my mind so that I like statistics. So I took about 3 days of intense visualizing, affirmations, and I actually wrote down 100 times, 3 times a day. I wrote this down. I love statistics. I can't wait to study my statistics homework. I wrote that. I love statistics. I can't wait to study my statistics homework. I did that 100 times, 3 times a day, once in the morning. I'm sorry, 100 times a day, broken down in 3 increments.
Uh-huh.
Within about 3 days, the craziest thing happened. I started liking statistics. In fact, I liked statistics so much, I started teaching the class.
Oh, my goodness.
I pulled together a group of students, and we would meet twice a week on Tuesday and Thursday, and I would kind of lecture on the notes or the lessons that we were supposed to be learning. And many of them said, you're so good at this, Clint. You should think about teaching this. And I would only smile because I was frightened to death of statistics. So now let's apply this concept to exercise. A lot of people start exercising, and this goes back to what I originally said about how your brain is not working with you, it's working against you. If you have not exercised in years and you don't like exercising, understand you have neuronal circuit that represents that. Your brain is wired up to not like exercise. So you go exercise and it is not pleasurable to you. Well, let's create a whole new set of circuits. Let's start exercising and then using some affirmations and some visualizations that represent, I love exercise. I just can't wait to go exercise. Do you know if you tell yourself that enough times with emotions and intensity, you will start liking exercise simply because you will create a set of neuronal circuits that represent pleasure and enjoyment in exercise, and at some point that circuit will outweigh the negative circuit that says I don't like exercise, and you will find yourself waking up 4, 5, 6, whatever time in the morning to go exercise, and then you realize, wow, what am I doing? You now like exercise.
Wow, that's pretty powerful.
You can use that for any type of new behavior you want to change. And, you know, that whole concept, Jules, it's not even old. I mean, it's not even new. We've heard it before like this. Here's the way we've heard it years ago. If you keep telling yourself something long enough, you'll start believing it.
Mm-hmm.
And remember the one our parents told you, you hang around with sick people, you're going to get sick.
Right. And that's true. It's very true. A perfect example is that I know a lot of nurses, and the nurses are always the ones that end up with those really tragic diseases at the end, you know, cancer and everything, because they are around those people and helping and nurturing them. So, of course, they kind of pick up all of that energy, I guess.
And you know there's a term for that.
What's that?
Psychoneuroimmunology. That was the last course I took in this health psychology doctoral program. It's called psychoneuroimmunology. It refers to it's the study of the connection between your thoughts, your immune system, and your health. So if you were in school working on a doctorate or maybe even a master's in psychology or even medicine, there's a good chance you will take a course called psychoneuroimmunology.
Well, that's good. I'm glad they have that because now people can correct it before they get sick.
Absolutely. Change your thoughts and you can change the way your immune system works to help protect you better.
Right, right. And we have that from Louise Hay as well, who have stated there are so many cases of instant or spontaneous remissions, but they're never talked about with the science because it's hard for the science to prove them, that they are no longer there. So it's like it's really fascinating, the power of our brains.
Yes. And that topic that you just raised, the science, it's hard to prove these things. We are now working on the science behind a lot of those modalities. So don't be surprised if over the next couple of months, I have to say the next couple of years, we start seeing, especially the medicine coming out of the Eastern medicine, things like Ayurvedic medicine and Chinese medicine. The National Institutes of Health now has departments or divisions that are actually researching the science behind some of these techniques.
I love this, and it's about time. I just love it. I'm thrilled about this. Before we leave, I want to tell everyone that this brilliant man named Clint Pearman has a wonderful book called The Gift, and you can buy it on Amazon. And if you go there, you can purchase, or do you have a website that people can go to?
I do, ClintPearman.com.
And that's P-E-A-R-M-A-N .com. Go there, buy this book because he has all of this information in there. He even has a chapter on the law of attraction. This guy is brilliant. And, well, my friend Constance was right. I love the show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jill. And it was a true pleasure hanging out with you for the last 45 minutes. I really enjoyed this.
Oh, good. Well, I hope you'll come back and talk to us real soon.
I would love to.
Thank you so much, Clint. And to all my wonderful listeners, have a great week. Have a peaceful week. Stay happy. And we'll be back and talk with you again with another great show of Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to Jules@LOARadionetwork.com and have a great week.